Hey everyone, Chris here, and I'm here to remind you guys, if you guys want to see Avengers Endgame with the MTR Network crew, you have two opportunities. One is the LA show at the Cinemark 18 in Los Angeles on April 27th at 12:30 p.m. We have tickets for that. Shanna and Ro will be out there. You can come up, meet. There will be a meetup afterwards at Dave & Buster's after the movie. If you're here on the East Coast and want to come to the DC viewing, we are going to be at the AMC in on Wisconsin Avenue. April 27th, the movie is at 12:30. Now, if you buy the tickets for the DC show, you have two live show opportunities after that. The first one, which is sold out, is a live show that starts at 4:30 and goes to 5:45. The second one, which you still have tickets for, the doors will open at 6, and the show will be from 6:15 to 7:30. You get a live show with members of the MTR Network crew and the Where's My 40 Acres crew. So if you want to come out and see us and hang out with us, or if you just want to see the movie with us, you can go to your go to endgame.mtrnetwork.net to get your tickets. Look forward to seeing you guys. Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. Your host Chris here with Ro and Brandon, and we're here to review, I guess, the remake of Pet Sematary. Yeah, I guess it's a remake of Pet Sematary. I'm not going to read the synopsis. This is based off a Stephen King novel, and let's just jump right into this because I'm going to be honest here. I cannot appropriately review this movie right now because our theater experience was absolutely trash.
Mm.
It was god-awful. It was the worst experience I've had in a long fucking time. Like, I actually thought that at one point there was a fight was going to break out.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, because some people were in their lap talking the entire time of the movie, so you couldn't pay attention. And then somebody finally shushed them, and then they got all mad, and one person got up, was cussing. And yeah, we didn't have security at ours, so it was just, it's a lot. It was a lot going on. It was very, very frustrating. So
that sounds ratchet as hell.
It was very ratchet. It was very ratchet.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't a conducive theater experience, let's put it that way. So. Well, I'll start with you then.
Me?
Yes.
Good God. I was disappointed. I don't really know any other way to describe what I watched. I've read the book. I've seen the original 89 version. And I was really excited that they were going to remake it. And they kept saying that they were going to try to pull more things from the plot. And I wasn't scared. I wasn't necessarily happy with some of the changes they made to the storyline. I get it. They wanted to age up, you know, the kid, I guess. But I was just overall, I was conflicted when I walked out. I was underwhelmed. And the more I thought about it, I just walked away from this movie feeling very disappointed. It was barely standard horror movie fare for me across the board. It had a couple of good moments. Like, John Lithgow was good, but, you know, he was a good Judd. That little girl is creepy as hell.
Wait, you mean Broke Down? You mean Value City, Patrick Wilson?
Wow. Is that how we gonna do?
Am I wrong, though?
No, I can't even deny it, because you're not. But damn.
I just, you know.
But yeah.
We've been slandering Old Boy with the Ashy Beer for, like, two podcasts in a row, so I feel like I had to kind of, like. Black on black crime is not, it shouldn't be a thing. So I feel like I had to go like cross racial.
Fair enough. Right here, fair enough. You know, fair enough. Got to be cross racial about it. Yeah. I don't know what's, I don't know. He looked like he needed a bath. And, to not smoke so many cigarettes that his face was turning that yellow, nasty thing that white folks face do when they smoke too much. But for the movie, it wasn't really scary to me. I really felt like, them trying to make more emotional connections with people meant that they kind of underdid all of the elements, and the way that they went about trying to explain the supernaturalness just made it that much more apparent that Lewis Creed, his wife, Rachel, are the dumbest people on the face of the earth when it comes to what you're supposed to do for real estate when you're buying property.
Wait, you mean to tell you didn't, you mean to tell me you didn't like the line of, yo, so how far back is our property line? You bought 150 fucking acres. How do you not know where your property line is?
Right. Yeah. But my problem is like, you know, without spoiling or anything, when somebody looks at you and says, well, it's further than you're going to care to go, My next question is why? Why in the hell is that your response? I just spent a lot of time in this movie going, why? Or what? Why? I was not fully engaged in this movie. And I'm watching people's reactions around me in the movie theater. And those were more entertaining and engaging to me than what I was watching for the movie. Like, halfway through the film, my brain checked out and started trying to figure out, oh, hey, that's how you fix that problem that you had when you were trying to edit that footage last night. And anytime that my brain decides that it needs to go into work, I'm not engaged in the movie. But so I was really disappointed. I was hopeful that it was the beginning of the, you know, not only the resurgence of Stephen King books being adapted to film, but us getting good adaptations of his stories on film. And therefore, this fell very far short of the mark, and I walked away disgustingly disappointed and annoyed.
Brandon?
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm the complete opposite. I watched the original version after reading the book. And then watching this, I could see in the trailer that they were going to pull some elements of the supernatural shit, the whole Wendigo shit from the book. And I think that is cool that they made an attempt. But ultimately, I think that Pet Sematary, and this, I feel this way about a lot of Stephen King's books, you can try to do it as one film. And the basis of the basic concepts are like the overall concepts within his books, right? So Pet Sematary, you bury your pets in the wrong place and shit happens. It's some clown coming after us, but we really don't know what the fuck it is. The Shining, fuck staying at creepy ass hotels. Like, I think that there is a general basis to all of his books that can be used niche wise in the horror culture. And I think that's what people tend to do when they adapt his properties. The older film tries to be a bit more faithful to some of the more superficial parts of the book, but ultimately that film is terrible. And
agreed.
Terrible for a bunch of reasons. It is terribly acted. It is terribly played out. The scarier moments, it doesn't touch on the supernatural shit at all. And the one thing that this film did that I don't understand why they missed that mark when they made the first film, because it tried to be so faithful to some other things, and then it did its own thing of adding things that didn't happen in the book for absolutely no reason, like the suicide. That I don't even know why they did that. But they missed the mark on what happens when you bury humans. And like, Judd is a very important character in the book. And in the second, if I have issues with this movie, right? But overall, I enjoyed the shot of it. My main issue with this film is that John Lithgow is an amazing fucking actor. And you cast him as a very, Judd's character is for a majority of the book more important than Lewis. And John Lithgow is there. And they kind of just underplayed his whole part in this fucktastrophe of bad white decisions. And it you know, it's funny that you bring out the whole supernatural shit in this version, but you still don't use Judd the way you should. And you know, that's like my only nitpick. But as far as like what they did with the switch up that everybody keeps talking about, I thought that was amazing, because I didn't check out, but at one point while watching it, I was kind of like, they're moving really fucking fast through this plot. And they're leaving out all of the issues between Lewis and Rachel, and like her issues with death. Like, they over kind of played that up because they felt like they didn't have time to fully dive into the character. They don't really talk about her parents or anything like that, and the involvement with her sister and stuff. Like, they just rushed it. So I'm like, they're rushing through a lot of this. I checked my clock. I was like, damn, I feel like we've only been sitting here for an hour and we've already did the most heinous death in this shit. Like the shit that starts everything. And I was like, I wonder what they're going to do. And when they actually did what they were going to do, the flip that they made, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. Like, I think the last third of this movie saves the fuck out of it for me. But generally, I think the creepy things that they did with church, and I think the creepy things, the little jump scares and the dream parts, and just all of the awkwardness of this family and this town and this area, just Ludlow and all of this weirdness and these kids and these fucking masks burying their pets and all of that stuff. I think that that was good. I think that that was like a good way to progress people through this movie at a quick pace. But when they get to the shit that's supposed to be the scariest and most fucked up, I think they did an excellent job flipping it for film adaptation, because ultimately I don't think that you can really portray the darkness of the darkness and just the disturbingness of Pet Sematary without either an episodic series that would be a slow grind of you watching a person go mentally insane and not realize it, or like you have to go read the book. I don't know if we'll ever get a good film adaptation that does this story justice. And the book to me wasn't really scary as much as it just was kind of fucked up and disturbing. And I don't necessarily want to say they dropped the ball. I like that they invested in it, but I do have an issue with them not fully going deeper into the whole Mi'kmaq tribe shit and the Wendigo shit. It's kind of just yada yada of an explanation. But overall, I see why critics like this movie. I think the general audience is going to love this shit. And I mean, I also have to relatively compare this shit with other horror films that I see wide released. It is still a whole lot better than the other shit that I'm worried of sitting through. Like, the next worry is this remake of Child's Play. And I love Audrey Plaza, but I am worried to death about what they're going to do with Mechanical Chucky.
I can see that. But see,
doing the voice. So, like,
But see, this is where I don't grade on. Maybe that's the difference. I don't grade horror movies on any kind of a curve. Almost every single thing that you listed is what I was expecting when they said that they were going to try to do something that was more Pet Sematary with this movie. Like, this movie doesn't work without Judd being used properly. I mean, even if you want to yada yada or you want to go into certain things, the second you start telling me that you're playing into the supernatural elements, I expect you to do your job, and they didn't. The little girl who's cast as Ellie, the great and terrible, that is a wonderful, wonderful child actor who I would like to douse in holy water and make her stand in a salt circle. She did her job. She was amazing. I mean, even like the things that they did with Kat, but they didn't use Gage at all as a part of the family unit. There's literally parts of the movie where I'm looking like, who's watching the baby?
Yo, Gage, I'm not gonna lie. So I think I'm in between both of you guys. Like, it definitely is creepy. It's got those creepy moments like that Brandon talking about, but like it there's a lot of things I just felt like they started going down a road with, and then he just stopped going down. So like the Wendigo shit, like they kept bringing up the they brought the Wendigo, so I was like, oh, we're gonna go, okay, we're gonna do that. Like, and I'm not somebody who's read the book, but I remember the original movie, so I'm like, all right, cool, we're gonna go in the Wendigo, and we never did anything with that. Okay,
they don't talk about the Wendigo in the original movie like that though. Like, it's not really mentioned as an old story of the Mi'kmaq shit, but that's it.
No, like, but that's fine. I mean, I'm just saying that in this movie, it's like the way they did it, I'm like, oh, it seems like you're actually going to kind of do something with it. And they don't.
They did something. What they did with it in this, which was a slight use of it, they could have went deeper. One, they kind of tried to spook you with it. And they did do a little bit deeper on the type of control that this thing has. And like, again, like, this was a moment where they wasted Lithgow. They tried to use him, but I don't think they used him to the full potential of Lithgow with this.
He was wasted from the beginning of this movie to the end of this movie. The actor was wasted. His ability to play this kind of character was wasted. And the character as written, his storyline was wasted. And that's why I walked away from this movie disappointed. It's not just that I'm not attached to the original movie. The original movie does not hold up. I spent a whole lot of time laughing at this movie. This book was creepy. And the parts of the book that really were disturbing were the parts where you were talking about what was going on with the family and their issues and how it all played into everything and how this property got a hold on them and never let go until it just dragged them all the way to the land of all the way crazy.
Well, that's,
and
yeah,
they had the setup here and they didn't do anything with it.
Well, they fucked it up by speeding through it. Like, I knew that they were going to not, they weren't going to pull much from the book or the original film when they had Lewis reveal something that he wasn't supposed to reveal that early.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Throws everything. Okay, so he's not going to go insane the way he did in the book at this point, because you just threw everything out the window to where it's a person whose inner dialogue is supposed to be one of the biggest reveals that he's losing his goddamn mind. And just as much as like Lithgow is kind of wasted as Judd, Pascal is one of the most, I've seen his character wasted two times now in two different films. They never do his character right. And I don't understand why. It's not that complicated of this apparition. Okay. And they keep wasting him. They absolutely wasted him in this one. He didn't.
Yeah. I was like,
pissed. Are you supposed to be like helpful, or are you playing for the other team? Like, what the fuck is going on, bro?
Because
in the book, it's established. Even in the 87 film, he's kind of like an asshole ghost, but he has a message that he is very strong and adamant about. And when they decided to, one, flip roles of two major characters to do this third act, they ended up tossing the importance of Pascal out the window as well. They tried to play back to it, but they really didn't. And, you know, Ellie, the great and powerful, is great if you know what it means, but they really just threw it in here as a Easter egg, just like they threw another line in here as the Easter egg, like God have his own kid. I was
but that's my thing.
Why are we doing this? Like, why do we do that?
But that's my thing. It's like this film throws a lot of that stuff out there that other films would have at least. And again, it's like it throws a lot of stuff at the wall. And it doesn't really go anywhere with it. Like, there's a whole thing with Rachel does this, the whole thing with Rachel and her sister. It's like, like they play that stuff there, and I'm like, all right, but I feel like you're just kind of there for the creepy factor, and you're not really doing anything with it. And it's like,
yeah, they overplayed all of the wrong parts of Rachel's issues,
parts. Right.
I liked it because it was scary and it was creepy.
But no, that's what I mean. Like, it's in the film. From a field point of view and a general audience point of view, is creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very creepy and fucked up thing. But when I left the theater, I'm like, oh no, it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was good. But the more and more I thought about it, I was like, it's all kind of like, what the fuck was the point? Like, outside of just being a creepy moment in the film, like, where does that kind of fit into the story you're trying to tell? Because then when you look at it, you're like, you're almost trying to tell like three or four different stories in this one story here, but finish almost none of them. And
they
didn't
finish single one, and that's why I was pissed. This script was trash. Like, that there is no cohesive story narrative from beginning to end. There are like 18 different story narratives that are all supposed to come together to make one plot, and we don't have one. So you get a really super simple story with some simple little vignette moments that really work, and you've got some really creepy stuff and some, you know, interesting uses, some vintage 80s jump scares and moments, and like how the house was arranged with no gate. But you have all of these things. But as a movie, I'm sitting here and I was like, okay, but what are you going to do with this? Because I was like, ooh, this is cool. And then they didn't do anything with it. And I kept doing that over and over again. So I walked out super conflicted, and I was like, I mean, they had the opportunity to do something here great. And I just realized, like, maybe that, I don't know if it's the edit. I don't know if they changed their mind halfway through. I don't know if they felt like we didn't have enough of a connection to the family, but they disconnected it from the town. So it's barely even connected to Derry. And that doesn't work for me in a Stephen King world.
Hold on. Okay. So there are like some things I don't like. The whole start of the conversation that y'all had about, like, they didn't know how much land they actually owned. That's from the book, so I'm not going to be mad about, I'm not going to nitpick on that. That's literally in the book. The family.
I'm not nitpicking on that. I'm talking about how the story was used.
I'm just saying, like, that's in the book though, so I can't fault them.
How it was used in the movie, not that it was in the book or in the movie. It was how it was used. It was when it showed up
in the book. I mean, it's explained the same way in the book. Do we own this land? And Joe was like, yeah, you do. You own
that's
all of
not
it.
That's not the part that I'm. That's not the part that I'm tripped on.
That's not the. Yeah.
What part are y'all tripped on about them owning land that they didn't know they owned?
This isn't about whether or not they owned the land that they knew that they owned. It's what they did with the story in the movie.
I'm talking about the first conversation y'all had in the beginning about them not knowing that they owned that land and not doing their realty research. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. First of all, I'm trying not to spoil, and it's not that he didn't know the land. It's about. Right after when he goes and he says, "Where did you take me?" And then suddenly he sits down and wants to do his Googles.
Right. Yeah.
You know, some shit you do before you sign and you close.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he's like,
"In the book."
But I didn't say it wasn't in the book. But here's the thing. Wait. I don't think it's a nitpick though. Even if it's in the book, there are certain things that it works in a book, but when you actually see it in a movie, it really stands out as not making sense. Like in a book.
I'm sorry, made this movie contemporary. So whereas you're making something in the 80s and you can get away with saying you may not know if they didn't tell you. Right. It doesn't work for a movie you made contemporary where he got a computer with the internet.
Exactly. But I think it matters in the way that then, because in that moment also then kind of makes the characters look dumb or like, oh, we didn't know. But it's like, no, but you had to. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Bro, they're dumb. No, they're dumb in
the book. Wait. There's always gonna be a level of dumb.
They're dumb.
No. Let me finish.
Let me finish,
Brandon. There's a level of dumbness that comes with horror films. I'm fine with that. But there's another extra layer on top of it that this film does where it's not because of the characters, it's the writing. It's like you should have fixed that when you do this. You should have known better. All right, listen, we can't put that in this movie because when you look at it visually this way in a contemporary movie, it looks even beyond dumb, beyond like horror movie dumb. It looks dumb from we're writing this movie dumb. And that's what they did there.
That moment, what we're talking about was the perfect time for some of the things where you're saying they yada, 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 that they didn't have to yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And they had the opportunity because they brought this movie current to do contemporary means of telling this story. These people are dumb. Yes, they're dumb. It's not about how much land do they own. It's about what do they know about their land? What did he let this man talk him into? They had all of these moments to tell this story and do it in a compelling way. And they had a cast that could do it and they wasted the opportunity. And as you put it, yada, 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 that's not a nitpick for me. That was a complete plot fail.
Maybe I'm now speaking as people who just don't, people from the perspective of people who looked at that scene and were like, okay, these white people didn't do their fucking research. Okay, he's just listening to this dude because he's dumb. Like that, like people do that shit all the time. So when I'm watching, and also there is supposed to be an overarching, something is motivating me to do this. Did they do a great job of it, of explaining that in this film? No. Did they make attempts to do it?
No.
Yeah, but it was
I just didn't feel like they really made an attempt. I really felt like they used it more as kind of like the flashback to, you know, the great unveiling of the thing, that the wraparound back to the opening movie, the opening moment where they pulled up on the house when the movie opened type thing. There's so many moments in this movie where what they did was unnecessary, and other moments in the movie where they phoned in what could have been great. Yeah, they had great creepy moments. They had some jump scares. I saw people jump. They got a creepy little kid, so they've carried on the tradition of fucking me up behind little kids who were in Stephen King movies. They got all that, but this was not a good movie.
I don't agree with that either. I think they told the story.
Okay. I think it's not the pet cemetery story that you're used to. It's not the other film.
I came into this blank slate as to what they were going to do.
Like, I get it that y'all didn't, that you
it's
didn't.
It's a crap story. It's a crap story.
That's your opinion. But I think they told the story that they wanted to tell.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm saying that the story they wanted to tell was crap.
All right, I'm saying that the story.
All right, let me jump in here.
Okay.
Going in, and that's fine. Like, that's your prerogative. You can do that. But from my perspective, I don't see a lot of that shit as being that terrible of a problem, nor do I see the story that they told here being that fucking bad. And the way that it's being received is not that fucking bad. Well, I mean, it's whatever, but I actually think the film is fine. It has issues. It has issues. And they're valid issues. But that doesn't mean it's a bad film.
I think
it was a bad story.
Yeah, I think it's a bad script. So I think because I think one of the things that's hurting us is that we're trying not to spoil. There are certain things, though, I think that, I'm sorry, if this is a spoiler for you, because, like, it's an old fucking movie. So, let's just go off of, you know, the initial thing of, you know, the cat dies and they bury the cat, right? The thing about them with that scene there and what bothered me about it is the way they wrote this and the way they do it, they have them start burying Church in the pet cemetery part before the barrier.
They cross,
right?
The barrier.
Before they cross the barrier. And then all of a sudden, Judd goes, no, let's go somewhere else. And then Lewis just goes. He goes and follows him up the thing and over the woods and through grandma's house, through the woods to grandmother's fucking house to go bury. And then all of a sudden, after he's done, goes, where'd you take me? Like, that scene right there, while it's kind of creepy, when you sit down and think about it, you're like, that entire thing was dumb. The entire way you do that.
I could have forgiven them that if they had kept going with where it looked like they were going to take this movie and the story with more of the elements and him ultimately going crazy and all that shit.
Right, right.
And,
that's what I'm saying.
And if they hadn't wasted Pascal, if they had continued the way that they had started in those scenes, and we can't say anything more because we will be spoiling, if they had continued going down that and they just dropped us down that rabbit hole, I'd have been all for it and I would have forgiven it. But because they came surface back up to this lighter fare for the other parts of the stories after that moment, they undid all that good work they did for drawing you in and creeping you out and making you wondering what the hell was going on, and then they pulled you out of it. That's why I'm saying this is a bad story and it does not work for me as a horror movie, and these things did not come together for me by the end the way that they needed to for me to be more excited about this and not just conflicted. Why I'm frustrated, because it's clear that the director could have done this shit. Who is the director?
It feels safe. It feels like a safe.
It's extremely safe.
It feels safe. It feels like that instead of trying to dig down into something a little bit more to connect all those things, it went for a very safe interpretation that, honestly, I think will probably be fine for a lot of audiences to go see because it's creepy enough to be entertaining. But ultimately, I think it ends up being forgettable. Like,
one and done.
Right. I didn't think about it the entire day. I was at work today, and I get ready to do this review, and I'm like, oh, shit, I did see that. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, though. And quite honestly, I've kind of forgotten most of it. Because
I agree with you. They made a kind of a mainstream, main fare, middle-of-the-road, simple horror movie. And I don't have anything against those. It's just they put elements in this of a much deeper, much more insidious, creepy story, and they showed me that their actors were fully capable of making that movie, and then they didn't give it to me.
I'd honestly like to see if they cut this film. It feels like this film was pieced together.
And it feels like this movie was longer.
Exactly, because it's an hour. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. I honestly, and this goes to what Brandon was saying, I don't think you can appropriately do Stephen King stuff in one movie.
I absolutely agree with Brandon on that. I also agree about the parts where Brandon said that they were rushing. And I really feel like this movie was originally longer.
Like, every now and then when Rachel starts talking about her sister, I'm just like, I mean, these are creepy scenes. These are very, very creepy. But why should I give a fuck right now?
I want to say I feel like the movie, I see why you feel like the movie was probably longer. But I kind of saw where I was like, no, this is the story that they wrote. Because even if they had longer scenes, it doesn't mesh with the overall story that they ended up telling in this. Because ultimately,
I can see that.
It doesn't make sense to have those filler scenes when they wouldn't have gone anywhere anyway with the story that we ended up getting as a whole. So I feel like, yeah, it's definitely a mainstream cut. They definitely edited the shit out of it. They fast-forwarded to the stuff that they knew people wanted to see. And they tried to introduce some things that people hadn't seen before. And I think on its own, that third act is like opposite Wonder Woman. It saves this movie. Because without it, you don't get the audiences to care about anything. But when that girl shows back up, it's like, okay, what the fuck? And for people, that's not a spoiler. That is in the fucking trailer. Literally, yeah, her daughter is in the fucking trailer, which is why people were upset there's this notion going around that this movie was spoiled by the trailer, and I was starting to believe that too. You really don't know how this movie ends, and I have to give them props for being brave enough to do that ending with such a loved property. Mm-hmm. Like, for them to take that type of Stephen King movies can go all over the place. You know, it was done very well. I'm looking forward to part two this year. I heard that they were trying to do another one of his books, and they adapt his stuff constantly on Hulu, in theater. Like, it's constantly being readapted, and it sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. I think Pet Sematary, ultimately, this version falls right in the middle. I think it's better than the first one. I don't think it's anywhere near as good as it, as far as being scary and just leaving you not wanting to go to sleep on your own in any dark places. But for audiences that are excited to go see this, for critics who raved and put the RT rating somewhere in the mid 80s for it, I think it works in that regard. Now, am I going to sit and ponder about it? And when I know it's better to tell people to go read the book, because there's no way you're going to get the real experience from this. You'll never see a movie about this book that helps you understand why Stephen King said it's his most disturbing written piece of literature. Like, there's no film adaptation that's going to do that for you.
And now that is just a fact.
So, you know, I think it's good that everybody has a differing opinion, because people can listen to this and be like, okay, so do I go with Ro and Chris, or do I go with Brandon? Like, where do I go? And the funny part is, we're really not that far apart in the quality of this film. I'm just saying that, like, certain stuff that got to y'all a bit more than it got to me, I recognized it was there, but I have a tendency to ignore that shit because I see stupid shit like that all the fucking time. And, like, with this one, I was waiting for them to do something different. I'm like, you better show me something fucking different with this movie, because as of right now, the way you did certain things, and basically the cat is carrying this whole movie right now. Cat is carrying this movie the way
Churchill is no joke. Churchill is no joke.
Yo, that cat was acting his ass off, and the makeup job on it was fucking great.
Between Church and like, Goose,
this cat can't carry this whole fucking film for you. It's only got 8 lives left. So what we gonna do?
Between Cat and Goose.
Hold my beer and went back to the cat again.
Cat and Goose are the two my two leading actors this year for early Oscar dinners. Because they acting their asses off, and Church got it, because Church has this look on his face the entire time. And also, can I just say, this movie is also just it's peak white people. Because I'm sorry, all right. First of all, like, oh yeah, Church is back. Oh, yeah. I thought you said he died, man. If you don't look at that fucking cat.
That cat is dead.
That cat is dead, dead as shit.
That cat is dead,
dead as hell.
He's dead as
dead
hell.
As hell.
How the fuck do you not tell that there's something wrong with that animal? That's the one thing that always got me about Pet Sematary. I'm like, all right, listen, guys, these pets are dead. How can you not tell? How do you see that animal and then go, you know what? We'll put my child in there.
I thought people were exaggerating about the cat. Like, I saw a couple of reviews were like, it's all about the cat, and I was like, you white people just love cats so goddamn much. And then you start watching it, and literally Church is giving them the stink eye the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Every time Lewis walks in the room, Church played him. Church literally had a personality in this movie. In the original movie, he didn't have a personality. He's just a mean-ass cat. In this shit, he had a personality. Now, I will say this. One thing that really, really fucking annoyed me, and it goes back to Judd. They had a part where they had Judd tell Lewis how he knew about this place. And they had him revisit that story for like a hot 20 seconds, which it really just does not do that story any fucking justice whatsoever and the importance of it. Because there are two things that become clear to Lewis when he hears that story, but we'll just let that go. The way they had him explain to Lewis that he should not be scared of the cat was so bad.
It was so dumb. It was a dumb
story. And I was like, bruh, why did you change this? Why did you change? Because it doesn't make what Judd did make any sense. And Judge has multiple, he has, not, I don't want to say interest, but he has multiple forces pulling at him.
Judd ain't shit. Okay. Judd ain't shit.
They missed the mark on showing you how much of a piece of shit he is. And I think they actually relied on someone later in the film telling him that as your way to see that he's a piece of shit, but they didn't back that up. So it was like, but why is that person saying this to him? We don't really know. We don't have any history on Judd that we can connect the dots with.
Well, so they went super heavy on the implications, and that's kind of what pissed me off a little.
The scenes are missing from it. So that's why I can kind of see what y'all are saying. That might be where edited scenes got cut.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like there are just moments in this movie where I'm kind of getting into the groove, and I just looked up the directors, and their only horror experience is episodic. So that is a note for how they may have gone about doing things. But they didn't have the right rhythm and the pacing for how they were giving you information and backstory. So yeah, I really feel like some of the scenes that we got where we were hearing about things that he knew and how he was interacting with the family and how the family interacted with each other, I really feel like those scenes were probably longer, or that there's a different version where something more or something different got said, and the one that they settled on to give us in this movie was just not enough, because they went super heavy with implication on what you're supposed to start assuming about Judd. And most of it was done off a pan of his house, things that they closed in on with the camera and got close to. Now, I will tell you this. Yeah. I really liked a lot of the cinematic choices they were making and the lighting choices they were making. And their location was just bonkers. So that's why I was really frustrated when they get to the precipice and then they flinch instead of jumping off and taking us to the next level.
Yeah. So there's a scene in a trailer that you guys have probably seen with, you know, a knife and somebody on some stairs. Let me just tell you, that scene is not spoiled for you in the movie because they do it differently and you are not ready.
No one is ready.
You are not.
No one ready. Is. Look, yeah. I will say this, B. You are correct. Act three is good. It's bonkers. I just don't feel like they earned it. And I know you say it saves the movie for you, but all they did for me was piss me off more about act one and two, because then I knew that they could have done better. And if I'm watching a movie and I'm kind of digging the vibe that you set up, and you phone the story in, and then you get balls to the wall and shit escalates and gets stupid, and I'm like, okay, I'm with you. Where the hell have you been for the last hour and a half? I don't like feeling like that when I get to the act three of a movie.
I get where you were coming from. I think the difference of how we interpreted it was that I didn't feel like they were setting up well from the initial beginning. I saw the pacing as soon as the movie started. I was like, they're going to rush through all of this. And so I expected it. Every time that they skipped over some shit or they didn't fully explain it, I was like, yeah, they're rushing. They're trying to get to what people want to see. I get it. They're not doing it in the most terrible way. But if you have any other knowledge about this source material, you could easily get annoyed by them doing this.
Even if you don't have knowledge about the source material, but you know horror movies, you're going to get annoyed at certain things, particularly the pacing. And even if you don't do horror movies, but you do suspense, they didn't even handle those elements with any respect. It just felt damn respectful.
It's superficial. I like what they did to make Lewis Creed look insane, because they didn't really make him look insane in the first film. They just made him talk and act insane, which didn't work for that character, because that actor couldn't act for shit. And it was clearly, but in this, they did things with eyes and they did things with his skin and just his whole demeanor and the way he acted, like it didn't make any sense. But how he got there, the fall from grace for his character is extremely fast. It is so fucking fast that you're like, wow, bro, like you literally turn left and you look like this and you Zoolandered right and now you look like this. What the fuck?
Yeah, Jason Clarke did a very good job of physically embodying everything that they needed for this character. Honestly, the only one who never really sat well with me, because I just thought she was too much of a punk from the jump, was Amy Smites, who played Rachel. I feel like, and I honestly, maybe some of the things that bothered me about this movie were them trying to get the connections that you needed for Rachel, and she couldn't do it, because Jatae Lawrence, who played Ellie, is ridiculous.
She looks and crazy, so, though.
Like, yo, when there's, they, a scene with, kid, there's a scene with her.
No, no, she's peak Stephen King white
yeah,
child.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding when I say I would like someone to go douse her in holy water. I want to see if it bubbles.
Yo, the scene with her in the bed with Lewis, I was like, no.
That shit was hilarious, like, and scary all at the same time. I was like,
nope, wrong, wrong. All this is wrong. All nope, let's just go ahead and wrap this up right now. Like you said, again, the third act works for that. I was just thinking, you know what it was for me? Because it feels just such like a shell of what it could have been at points. And I have it in my mind. It was like, this is almost like The Shining cosplaying as Pet Sematary at moments. Because there's certain things I feel like they do with some of the characters that feels like they were kind of trying to do that. Which, I mean, obviously it's all Stephen King, and so there's stuff there. But it's like, it just felt like you didn't go into depth in any of it. I just really feel like it needed more, like 20 more minutes. By the time this film got to the end, I'm like, damn, all right, cool. And I looked at the watch, I was like, wait, shit, it's only 8:40.
We got actually asked me why I got home so early.
Yeah.
It was over. I mean, they finished it.
It was too fast. They rushed through too much. And even if I can forgive some of the stuff they did, that because they wanted to keep it on the mainstream level. And I don't have a problem with the mainstreaming of horror movies. I have the problem with stripping horror movies in order to make them mainstream. And maybe tops 30 minutes in, when you're not really getting some of the conversations that should be happening between Lewis and Rachel's character, I was like, yeah, they're not going to give me anything. There's not going to be anything here. And then they're going to give me extra whiteness because I still can't figure out who the fuck is watching the baby, because you don't ever see Gage's ass. I'm like, they got him in a bouncy chair somewhere else? I mean, there were just moments where I was perfectly okay with the trailer reveal saying that it wasn't going to be Gage, although the best thing about the original Pet Sematary for me was Gage, that creepy ass little boy. Oh, right, before he
is absolutely the best part of the old Pet. Like, no fair, and him tripping and falling in the corner and dying are the best two scenes.
Best two scenes in the whole damn movie.
Yo,
but that's for that. Just go back and watch it just for that part at the end.
Yo, in this movie, Gage is Wong from Infinity War. Like, he kind of just dips out every now and then in the movie, and you're just like,
"Yep,
oh, there is a kid. There is a little boy. Oh, mm-hmm. What is Gage doing?" And he's just, it's like, he don't have time for this shit.
But see, but the problem was they anchored some of the supernatural in Gage and then didn't use him in the movie.
Exactly.
And that, and that's where I started to have problems. I was like, okay, y'all don't know how to pivot. And when I'm starting to pay, that's when I get mad. Like, I was like, okay, I was forgiving you some of this stuff. Y'all are newbies. You're coming for TV. Things work a little different. You may not have catched the pacing. But when they got there and I was like, yo, ain't this some bullshit? Oh, and the girl next to me is like, this is the most frightening moment of my life. I was like, don't watch movies with me. You can't watch shit with me, because you will like be committed 45 minutes later. Please don't go see La Llorona. You're not going to make it. But, I just felt like everybody was wasted, and they pulled just enough from the source material for me to know what they wasted. So there are going to be people who don't know anything about the source material who are going to walk away going, is that it? That's all? It was creepy. You know, there was a couple moments that were disturbing, but it wasn't scary. And then there are going to be people who know they're Stephen King who are going to be ready to break shit. I mean, like, there'd have been a fight. If this had been me and my friends in the movie theater, Chris, it would have been ratchet, but it wouldn't have been because about the movie. It wouldn't have been because of something that happened in the audience. It wouldn't have been a shush. We'd have been a whole room of people cussing out the damn movie screen. Like, we'd have lost our shit.
All right, what would you guys give? I know our scores on this are probably going to be all over the place. What would you guys give this film out of 10?
Silent.
All right, I'll start. Like I said, I don't hate it as much as Ro did, but I'm also it's kind of forgettable, and I just there are parts I wanted them to expand on. So for me, it's a 6.5.
It's a 5, maybe. It's a 5.
Maybe 5.
Act 3 is really good.
It really is good.
The locations and the sets, the cinematography, that cast was great. So I can't shit on the movie completely. I'm not saying don't go see it. I mean, it's standard. It's a simple ass horror movie. I give it a 5 out of 10. I'm bitter. I'm sorry. I was really excited. Fuck my book up again. Sorry.
I give it a 7 out of 10. Crusty ass church stank eyes. You gotta know when to stop brushing, dog. Like, I'm sorry. You got to know when to stop brushing.
Just stop right there. In both instances. In all instances.
That's why I just said you just have to know when. I didn't say for who. Let me tell you this. If this had been a black child's hair, that brush would have went all the way. Okay. But you can't be doing this to the white kids. Like, right? They won't raise. This ain't in their genes for you to just comb through all the nap. Or whatever it is, it's a nail. It's too much, man. Y'all got to chill out with the brushing. All right. I don't know what is going on, but.
And y'all people, if you got cats, be paying attention to your damn cats. Your cat look like he's feral. Do something about it, man. Just do something.
Yeah, right. That's the thing that got me. It's just like, oh, well, you know, you told me church was dead. It doesn't look dead to me. Bitch, do you have eyes? Do you not see the blood, the clumps of.
Hey, maybe he just got into a fight.
They say he smelled sour. I don't know what kind of fight you got into, but you okay, but nigga got to go. He came up here smelling up the new crib. We don't even have a new house smell no more.
I don't even want to talk. Okay, look, I will do this. There are certain things that they did prop wise that were kind of old school horror movie scaries that they did with the cat, and those are part of the reason why this movie for me, I'm still saying people should go see it, because if nothing else, this shit is funny. Like the props, but like the use of the cat in the baby's room, that shit, I was like, it's not okay. Every time the cat was in the kitchen, post-death and pre-death, fuck this cat. That's, I'm telling you, this movie is Churchill's movie. And Act 3 belongs to Ellie.
Yeah. And our theater actually laughed. Like, our theater laughed at a bunch of scenes that I don't know if the intention was to be scary or to be funny. But to me, like, your audience receives it that way. I'm like, okay, well, they're enjoying it. And I think the reason that I can give this film a 7 is because if they had actually made the first 2/3 longer, then I would have been annoyed as fuck. I would have been like, why am I still sitting here? And I don't think the third act would have been able to save it. But because
if they had made this movie longer, no, that's torture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This, I don't think they would have made the third act longer, and I don't think they would have added anything of substance in the first two acts, worthiness of another 20 minutes. I think it would have just been 20 extra minutes of
bitching about Rachel.
Watching this. Right, Rachel tears. 20 more minutes of Rachel tears is not what I wanted to watch. So the fact that they did rush through it, and then they got to the third act so damn fast, they was like, listen, this is where the fun is, though. I was like, okay, it's cool. Like fine.
But that just makes it a cute movie. That doesn't make it a good movie. And that makes me really sad, because they could have done some things with this. And I'm going to be bitter on this for a little while. I am. But yeah, some of this shit was funny.
Yeah.
Do you disagree, Chris?
No, some of it was. But also, I got to say that our audience, once again, I'm gonna start where we began. Our audience was terrible, and
trash.
Yeah, our audience was trash. So I can't say that them laughing at moments that weren't supposed to be funny was the fault of the film, or just that we had a.
I'm not talking about them. Them niggas was laughing at everything inappropriately, right, because they just some inappropriate ass niggas. I'm talking about the actual theater was laughing, people to your side, not the people behind me up and to the right.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Those niggas, but I tell you, it'd be so many times where I'd be sitting in the theater and I'd be thinking to myself, man, can they catch these hands though? Because they was talking
don't be fighting.
So much. And the only thing keeping me from doing this, y'all, is because we're supposed to be professionals. Like, that's the only reason I don't yell out from my seat. That's the reason I don't get up. Like, I talked about this on a podcast. And yes, there's a real fear sometimes of if you engage people like that, you never know how this situation could end, especially if we're in Baltimore. But there's also still the nigga in me that is like, can you beat a 300-pound fat man, though? Because real talk, bro, y'all got to shut the fuck up. And I think the two women down at the end of our row were drinking.
I heard the bottle drop. When the lady beside you went to get off to go to the bathroom, she tripped over the fucking bottle. To be fair, that theater does allow drinking, but it sounded like they brought their own fucking liquor.
No, they brought their own liquor, bro. They literally stood up during the film, bro, and were arguing about who should take this bag that they were trying to hand to the women that just walked in and was flashing her bright ass screen on her phone all over the theater. Mm-hmm. It was like, come in, sit your ass down, and shut the fuck up. Them's the rules.
See, this is why every single time I think it would be happier if I lived in a different part of town and got to go to a different movie theater, y'all tell me this stuff, and it reminds me why I'm perfectly content to be where I am, going to the movies for these things where I am, because I'm not trying to lose my press credentials behind putting my hands on somebody and launching them down from the top of the theater to the bottom. Right. I don't have the patience y'all have.
It's some niggas that don't appreciate that something got them out the house for free, and they get to go sit down and enjoy some shit.
I don't know the patience y'all got. I'd be in jail.
Niggas, man. Like, Orga was like, you know what I hate? You know what I hate? Don't be no ratchet ass motherfucking heathen being mad because somebody called your ass a ratchet ass motherfucking heathen, and your response is to proudly reaffirm that you are a ratchet ass motherfucking heathen. Like, somebody was like, be quiet or something. And the girl was like, he ain't had to tell me to be quiet. He could have been like, excuse me, can you quiet it down? No, motherfucker, he could not have, because your rude ass was talking over the whole fucking movie.
I think
that
the
rest of us came to see.
I think they were so bad that I think a group of people behind them got up and left.
Oh, they did. Oh. It was like four people that got up and trashed their shit and left. And I was like, first of all, y'all some punks. So y'all should have went and got management. Right. Y'all should have went right up there and was like, hey, there's some folks back in that theater acting a whole hot ass fool. And
so you telling me we had a legitimate let me speak to your manager moment and nobody went and got the manager?
We had people in the theater who were hosting the event that did not get up and handle it. And I think that's what was irking me more.
To be fair, I don't think that would have turned out well for them. So I don't blame them for not doing that.
I did not want to kick people out, but bro, then get security up in this joint.
I think that was a bigger problem. We didn't have security, because usually we have security there. Because like I said, when that lady had her fucking phone out, security would have gotten her out. So we didn't have the usual. I think the problem is the security didn't show up that day. So we didn't even have. There wasn't even an avenue to go to kick people out for that kind of thing, because they had their phone on at the beginning of the film. Like the first 20 minutes of this film, I was so goddamn annoyed because of
y'all. Have my deepest condolences.
And then the group beside us was talking too, like the nice white group that was like, "Hey, can y'all move over and get us four seats?" And we were able to do that for them. They then sat down and started running their fucking mouths. I swear to God, I was about to be like, "Hey, bruh, we ain't let them seats come up for y'all to sit here and talk beside us and ruin that shit." Mm-hmm. Like, you can ruin a movie outside the theater, bruh. Don't do that shit beside me, though.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Anyway, all right. So, are we going to put in? Don't forget to check out our tickets for our LA and DC show for Avengers Endgame. Tickets are still. We still have tickets available for that. Again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I'm going to put the promo in front of this. So just make sure you get your tickets. We still have some left for DC and some for LA. So please do that. And also check out the shirts on our TeePublic site, because everybody apparently loved the MTR Network Thanos Snap shirt. You guys have been buying it up in like...
Oh, I love that shirt. As soon as payday gets here, I'm buying me some.
Yeah, man. Everybody's. I'm gonna let everybody know what the mug looks like, because I just bought it with the mug. So I'm gonna see what the mug is like. So I'm gonna get that for my office. So, but yeah, I'll have the link for that in the show notes. Check that out. Because yeah, man, people have been. And you know, matter of fact, by the time this comes out, no, it'll be another day. April 6th through the weekend, there will be another sale on TeePublic on our store. So you'd be able to get that shirt for $13. So I know the sale starts on the 6th. I'm not sure when it ends, but just check my social media and keep checking our TeePublic site. You'll be able to get that shirt and other stuff. Not just our shirt, but everybody else's shirt will be on for $13. So, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. And until next time, we're out of here. Peace.